Heavenly Father, we are grateful unto you this morning for your grace that has brought us to your house again. We want to appreciate all that you did for us last week, both spiritually and physically. Thank you for your healing hands upon the sick and the afflicted. We thank you, Lord, for spiritual blessings in the services and our private studies and consecrations. We thank you, O God, for provision of all our needs. We thank you for joining mercies for all travelers. We thank you for your favor and your mercies. We are grateful and we are thankful unto you. Thank you, O God, for the blessing we have received already this morning in the Sunday school. May your name be glorified. Lord, we also thank you for the worship service, the hymns and the choruses, and special numbers. We thank you for everything that you have done for us. We bless your holy name. Lord, we commit the rest of the service, O God, into your hand today, especially this morning. We ask, Lord, that once again, you will further your blessings in our midst. Help your servant and help your children, dear Lord. We are also asking that wherever your children will gather today, may you be with your people and may you be with your servant. Speak through the vessels of clay, O God, and let your blessing descend from your throne unto each one. May none return, O God, in a worse condition, but Lord, may we go back in a better condition. We pray, dear Father, for your servant in the missionary journey, both the one in those states around the Mira area and Auchi, and the one also that is in Benin City. Lord, and your servant that has gone to Bakatari, we pray your grace to rest upon each of them. May them channels of blessings your children. Heal the sick and the afflicted. May you deliver the oppressed. Baptize those with your spirit. Right then and means do great and mighty things. Thank you, dear Father. Lord, we just ask that when this service will come to an end, may there be abundance of testimonies in our heart of all that you have accomplished in our midst. Blessed be your wonderful name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray with faith and thanksgiving. Amen. God bless you.
Shall we rise up? Reach out and touch the Lord as the first.
Thank you because each time your people gather, you are always here before us and with your blessings already prepared. The blessings are not with man, but with you. And Lord, and we can tap these blessings from you, the author of life, the only one that has the power to heal and to save. The one that works miracles, the one that delivers, the one that is full of supernatural. It is unto you we look this morning. Lord, that all our needs might be met. Lord, that we might be partakers of your suffering. Oh, gracious Lord, that we might have cause to glorify you. Release your healing virtue. Release your power of salvation. Manifest yourself in our midst. Let the enemy be completely defeated in our midst. May you be lifted up that men might be drawn unto you. Thank you, everlasting Father. As we commit ourselves to you, we pray you have your way. So that at the end of the service, Lord, we will have every cause to glorify you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Praise be to God. God bless you. Let's read the scripture straight up to you. John chapter 16. Read from verse 20 to 21. John 16. I know you are there, but I want to open it from our Bible here. John chapter 16 from verse 20 to 21. Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. May the Lord bless the reading and the hearing of this word to our hearts. God bless you. You can please be seated. Once again, we give thanks to God, and especially for making it possible for us to be in His house. I want to thank God for spending my life. Just as thank you for singing that day for me and those who called yesterday, who sang. And I'm very, very grateful. God bless you. So that reminded me of last year. I wasn't home last year. I was on a missionary trip. By this time, I was in Indonesia. So from Benin to Sapele, then from Sapele back to Benin, then Benin back to Onisha, then finally back home. So it was on Thursday last year. They celebrated it for me over there. Had a little celebration. And then I went out. Then the following day, I preached. That was on Friday. So, of course, if I will not be the one taking to this service, I will still preach today. Because I will definitely be at Pakatari. But the Lord has planned it that I will be here. I plan to be in the Sunday school, but because of the journey, that places a lot of stress on our people, especially the associates. So he had called me earlier, I think since Friday morning, at the Thursday evening or Friday morning, that the possibility, of him not being able to preach today is high. So that I should. I'll be preparing. So finally, yesterday, he sent a message. So I know that I will be here fully. So God bless you. So pray for me. I'll be here even for the evening service as well. So God bless you. There's a little song here that I want to sing. I will read it, not just to sing the word. We have taken a lot of songs and reach out and touch the Lord. It's also a song that brought us this moment. And that is song 124, Only Believe, Just a Closer Walk. of. He says, I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee. Just as I closer walk with thee, granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be. Dear Lord, let it be. Through this world of toil and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my body shares? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. Because it's our body bear. When my feeble life is over, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely over to thy kingdom, sure to thy shore. Praise be to God. That is the song that will be driving the service or this sermon this morning. The title is The Back Pains. As many of us as are familiar with the sermon, and my purpose has been to, is to emphasize spiritual breakthrough. As the Lord will guide us and lead us, the way to spiritual breakthrough will be my subject. And the prophet told us here, it is very, very important when we're talking about the message, as we pick a sermon and we come to preach the sermon. Is already titled. Or sometimes we pick another title of our own, and then we, because there are some thoughts coming to our mind that we don't find the title addressing, but there are quotations. And so we gather those quotes together, and then we give it the title so that we can address what we want to address. So each time, whether by taking the quotes or by picking a sermon with the title of the prophet, one thing that is very, very important is that we must know that the word that are quoted to us is the vindicated word. Vindicated. It is God's mind. If Jesus Christ will appear to be on the platform this morning, because he planned things ahead of time, I believe it is this battle he will preach this morning. Are you with me? I believe this is what he will preach this morning, because everything is pre-planned, is predestinated. God knew that I would be the one to stand here today. And with the sermon titled The Bad Tribe, he knows. The Bad Things. The Bad Things. He knows. And so every word, that's why I'm going to read the preliminary part of that sermon, to get us to know that the message, what we call the message of the hour, is not the idea of William Aaron Branham. It's not his opinion. It's not what he went into a corner and just, made up. And say, let me just go and convince these people. Let me go and just display before these people. It's not. The message of Malachi 4 is not the way Kumuyi carries the Bible and he stays before the pulpit and he preaches. I want you to be all here. The message of the hour. It's not the same thing as when Pastor Adeboye of Redeemed Church carries this Bible and reads a portion of it and he begins to talk. There are million miles apart. It is not like any denominational preacher today will carry this Bible, no matter how eloquent it is, how anointed it might be. It cannot be compared with the message of the hour. You know why? The message of the hour is predicted in the Bible. It's the promise of God in the Bible, just like the birth of Jesus was predicted. And when it was time, God brought it to pass. And when God brought it to pass, the religious days of Jesus Christ did not believe it. They gave it a name. They boycotted. Anyone who associated with him was named. Some of them were driven out of the temple. And finally, look at that man that was born blind. That finally, after he received his sight, he became a preacher to the denominational people. And they pushed him out of the temple. Because he told them, do you also want to be his disciple? They pushed him out. And what did he do? What happened to him? He found Jesus. And he began to follow him. Every time God brings his promise to pass, is unusual and is hard to the people. So Malachi 4 message is not like any, this church beside us there, it is not like they are preaching now. It's not. Their message is for the foolish virgins. This message sent by God through William Abraham is for the bride. And it is a matter between life and death. And that is why our ideas, our opinions, what we feel, that is why we don't bring ourselves into the picture, because we are nothing. We have nothing to give, only what has been given. Because that is the only thing that can impart life. That's the only thing that can give eternal life. That's the only thing that can bring true deliverance. That's the only thing that can give, bring to pass the promises of Jehovah. Praise be to God. Brother Abraham has been vindicated in counted numbers in several forms, in several ways. And the reason is because to get the believers of today convinced, to get the believers of today stable, to get you to get doubt out of your mind, to make you to be focused, not to listen to any other thing outside of this message. All that you need, all that I need, God has given to William Abraham. You know, he has given unto us. Spiritual food in due season. This is the due season. And the spiritual food has been stored. And that's the message of the hour. We have no alternative. We don't have any other thing else that we combine with it. It is only the message or nothing. Some people will say that you don't preach your own sermon, it's the sermon book you carry. You don't do this one. I'm not the messenger. If I'm a faithful servant of God, I will say only what Abraham says. That is all. Because that is what is going to, that is when I'm fulfilling my ministry. If I don't say what the messenger has said, I'm not fulfilling the ministry. Anyone who does not say what the messenger says is working for the devil. That's it. It's working for the devil. It's not working for God. It's not working to fulfill God's program. And so, on the basis of this, I read paragraph 9. Just a little thing, and I hope I will not be misunderstood. And not a coincidence, I do not think, for I think it was providential, that yesterday I was given a present by a friend here, from a friend of mine, Daniel Henry. One day, in the Christian Businessmen's Convention in California, I was having a meeting. I was speaking very hard against the condition of the time. And I hope that everybody understands that. Not an evil in my mind. It is not that. No. You surely will understand. I don't mean it that way. But I have to just say what comes to me to say. And then after that, this little fellow, a Baptist brother, and I think he's some relative to a movie star, and he came down to put his arm around me after Brother Abraham has finished preaching. He came to put his arm around Brother Abraham to say, "The Lord bless you, Brother Abraham. I just want to offer a word of prayer." That brother, after Brother Abraham finished preaching, he came to Brother Abraham, he put his arm around Brother Abraham, he said, God bless you, Brother Abraham, I just want to offer a word of prayer. And he started speaking in French. And the boy doesn't know one word of French. And some raised up, kind of a big woman. I believe she was from Louisville. She said, "That's French." Then there was a man over there said, "That's French." And they had written out what it was. I have the original copy here. And then happened to be a young fellow walking from the back and coming forward, want to see these notes. You see? I want to see their notes. They know that the other woman had written. They know that the other man had written. So the third person also wanted to see their notes. Who was he? And it was the UN interpreter of French. Just exactly French. An interpreter for US. French interpreter, he was an authority. He knew his onions. When he came to French, understanding French. The nouns, the words, the this, the that, everything. The composition. Just like somebody knows his English. And I would like to read this note. This is the original note of one of them. And it was from this man that had interpreted. I may not be able to call his name, just right. I'm not a French person. Can the French sister help us to call it? Lodux. Lodux. All right. Yeah. I never had one class of French. In my secondary school days, we were not taught. I usually mistake bonjour, bonsoir, whatever. Sometimes I say bonsoir when I was about to say bonjour in the morning. Well, I hope I learn this someday. So he is full-blooded Frenchman. Now, here is the message. Because thou hast chosen the narrow path, the harder way. Thou hast walked of your own choosing. Thou hast picked the correct and precise decision. And it is my way. Because of this momentous decision, a huge portion of heaven awaits thee. What a glorious decision thou hast made. This in itself is that which we give and make come to pass, the tremendous victory in love divine. Now that was the message given by a man that wanted to bless Brother Abraham after Brother Abraham had preached, and he spoke in French. And he was not a French person. The Rabbi said he didn't know one word of French. To tell you that the message the man gave was supernatural. And then here came three people to confirm it, that it was French. And when the man that had authority in French compared the notes of the other two, he found that it was exactly the same thing. That what the interpretation they are giving is correct. Somewhere, Abraham was talking about the punctuation, about the placing of the word. He said to him, "We will have less victory in love, in divine love." He said, "But he said love divine," and that is how they all interpreted it. Why are we saying this? When I first had people speak in tongues, I wouldn't criticize nothing, see, because I have seen it genuine, but always wonder. But when that happens, and knowing what the commission was behind it, I knew it came from God. It was the vindication of that ministry. There are several vindications. The pillar of fire on the head is a vindication. The mystery cloud is a vindication. The writing, what was written on the wall when Abraham was preaching, this in the during when Abraham was preaching the seven church age, during that time, the Holy Spirit wrote it on the wall. To tell you and me that we do not need to doubt nothing. And if we have not been serious, if we have not given our whole heart to this message, you better begin to think about giving your entire life to it. About giving your everything about you to it. Be serious about it. Don't play the opposite. Come out fully. Surrender fully. Because to the forward, God will reveal himself forward. To the upright, God will show himself upright. God will deal with you as you deal with him. He will honor you when you honor him. He will dishonor you when you dishonor him. May the Lord be gracious to us. It is God vindicating the ministry and the servant like he did to Moses. So that the believers can believe. So that the doubters can throw away their doubts. So, by the grace of God, having said that, we move to the sermon. The prophet told us, from what we see here, we realize that the prophet, in order to bring this message to us, he tried to compare the new, the bad pain, the new bad, rather. The prophet compared the new bad. Because the emphasis of this sermon has to do with spiritual birth in the first instance, spiritual birth in the first instance, and then the birth of the new heart that is coming, the processes, the stages, and that is why I say the way to spiritual breakthrough. The prophet told us, now we notice that it always, the prophet said, my thought now to you is it takes pain. We are on the same side. Bad pain. Now, notice, my thought now to you, it takes pain, distress, discomfort. Look how the Pharisees died to that law through pain, distress, discomfort, but it must be. So it takes pain, it takes distress, it takes discomfort to experience the new birth. It takes pain, it takes distress, it takes discomfort to have spiritual breakthrough. We say good things don't come easy. Do they? They don't come easy. Every achievement that any one of us can record here, you know the price you have paid. You know the price you have paid. Every achievement has what goes with it. The price that you pay. And this spiritual achievement, there's also a price that the prophet says we have to pay. And then the prophet began to bring to us some elements of the earth, things on the earth. He began to compare these things on the earth to back pains, how these things go through back, go through back pains before they bring forth their beauty, before we see their glory, before we begin to enjoy them, how they go through pains, discomfort, distress. And the prophet talked to us about the bath of rainwater. Now, you just sit down in the house and carry your bucket and put just below the line of the droplets of the roof. And after the rain is over, you just carry your bucket and take it. Or you have your collector connected to the mouth of the roof to gather it and maybe drain it into a drum. Or like in the villages where they are vest rain, they have a well, where they connect the collector and it drains into that well. That's what they use. How many of us have seen that before? Of course. Many of us should have seen that. Especially many people who come from the village. You just go there and get water. You do not know what that rainwater has to go through before it becomes that. Now, we find that rain, which brings forth fruit upon the earth, rain brings us water. It cools the atmosphere for us. It waters our crops. Then it increases the volume of water that is in the house, through which our well, our boreholes, and even our lakes and our rivers increase their volume. It brings forth fruit upon the earth. It's born. The prophet says it's born. The rain is born. As the poet said, in the face of thunder. The rain is born in the face of thunder. In the ragged, jagged skies. But if we didn't have the thunder and the ragged, jagged skies, the little distilled drop of rain that has been lifted from the seas and distilled from the salt, it will not be born. Many of us that are science students, there's what we call hydrological cycle. How many of us know that? Hydrological cycle. What Omilonje hydrology? Cycle, hydrological cycle. How the rain comes to the earth and how it goes back to the sky. It's a cycle. As the sun comes, it hits the surface of the water, it hits the soil, and drains it, evaporates it into the sky in form of vapor. And it goes back to the sky in form of vapor. And it floats. It's a supernatural work of God. How the water, you just put the water outside, and you see that where a wet point becomes dry when there's no additional rain. It becomes dry, becomes dry, and finally the place is dry. It is the evaporation that is taking place. The sun is drawing from it. And that drawing, you don't see it and it does not make noise. But if you want to drain, if you want to wet your garden, and you have to carry a saffron machine, you will have to operate it with a lot of noise. You put a pipe in the river and put the other end of the pipe on your fields. And then you have water on the other side. But God is transporting water from the river, from the soil, and it goes to the sky without any noise, without anybody noticing it. But when that rain is, when that vapor eventually forms, which in geography we call condensation nuclei, that is the formation of vapor with cloud and smoke and dust. That's what forms rain. And when that happens, it gets to saturation level, with thunders, with winds, with everything, then he releases it. Then the prophet says, then the rain is born. But they have to go through that process. And then you can tell me that there are sometimes rain will fall without thunder, without this. Yes. But we are talking about what the prophet is bringing out for us here. To see that before the rain, natural, will be born, there is the thunder. That thunder sometimes we think we still fear the heart of human beings. Some people can collapse when it thunders there. Some people will run from where they are and hide inside their room. We remember the story of the little boy. When it was thundering and blasting and the rest of it, and he was afraid, the mama said, okay, Junie, come and lay here. He said, he's afraid. The mama said, don't worry. Jesus Christ promised to be with us in everything. He said, I know it. He said, but I need one. That's God in the flesh. So stay with me now. I know, because of fear. So he wanted the mother to stay with him. I need God in the flesh. Come and stay with me. Fear. Thunder brings fear to many people. When you are sitting like this and you thunder, you see how people will shake. The rain is in the process of being born. You will see wind everywhere. We scatter everywhere. And then at the end of the day, you see rain coming down. Let's move on. We find rain, which brings forth fruit upon the earth, is born. As the poet said, in the fits of thunder, in a ragged jacket sky. For if we didn't have the thunder and the ragged jacket skies, the little distilled rain, drop of rain that's been lifted from the seas and distilled from the source, it will not be born. It takes that lightning, thunder blasts, ragged, rugged, fearful thing to bring forth the soft petal drops of water. It takes pain to bring forth back. It takes dying. And as the cloud dies, rain is born. Because rain is a part of that cloud. One has to cease, so the other one can exist. Praise be to God. Now let's drop over to another thing, just for a little proof. I think one of the prettiest flowers, everybody has their own ideas of them. But I think the prettiest flower that I have nearly ever seen is back in the East, our pond lily. How many ever seen a pond lily? Oh, that's just nothing like it. There's nothing like it to me. But did you notice that pond lily had to be what it has to be? I think of what Jesus said, consider the lily how it toils and speaks. But yet, I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. For Solomon's glory and his arrayment was all artificial. But the lily in his beauty is life that is making it beautiful. Not some artificial smear on or paint. Just like our women. I don't think you have to have all this grain, you know. The eye winkers, you know, out like that. And all that manicure. I get that stuff mixed up. All of your face to make you pretty, pretty as pretty dogs. If you had a little act 2, verse 4, mix it all together with a little John 3:16, it will beat anything that Max Factor ever did try to fix. See, your husband will love you more. Everybody else will, and I'm sure God will. The prophet told us that the female wants to be pretty. They want to beautify themselves because of their mate. But the description, the prescription of the extent of our beauty has been given by the message of the hour. And the prophet said, you can be beautiful but be natural with it. Be beautiful, but be natural. Don't apply artificial things to yourself. We will continue to emphasize it. We continue. The reason we have so many things coming into the church today is because of deviation from that principle. Be natural, be beautiful, but be natural. So if you are going to be natural, it means that any other artificial that means so much beauty to the poor of the world, we shouldn't be on you. And anybody who knows what true beauty is, when he sees the artificial, you know that you are not beautiful. He knows you are not beautiful. Because he that looks at the, who that is looking at the unseen, we know that you are not beautiful. Except somebody that is not looking at the unseen. Because it is the inner beauty that the man that is looking at the unseen will see. That's why we look at. And when you, the prophet said, when there is too much artificial, it's so the inside is empty. Of what? Of God. Praise be to God. Well, it's a challenge to our sisters today because we are everywhere. The people of the world, they don't have standards. They don't have standards. But the word of God has standards. The message of the hour has given us standards. So, and you need to have revelation of that standard. And that is when you can really reflect what the message is all about. Now the prophet talks about the pretty lily. He's talking about the lily. He said, consider how it grows. It all has to bring itself up. This little pond lily, look where it comes through. Dirt, muck, mud, muddy waters, dirty waters. It spreads its way through all of that. This little gem of life. Working itself from the bottom of the pond, where the frogs and things are at, and then brings itself up through all of that. But when it gets in the presence of the sun, it is born. It's coming from the bottom of the mud. The seed lays there. But there is life inside of it. It must bring forth that life. It must show that beauty to the human beings. To beautify the environment. And then he's finding his way up. He's fighting the mud, trying to push it here and there, and it breaks up. And it's coming up, it's coming up, it's coming up until the sun. It comes before the presence of the sun, and then it breaks up. And it brings forth his flower. But the prophet said it has gone through pains coming from the mud. It has come through distress coming from the mud. It has come through discomfort coming from the mud. The little seed burst open into life. He cannot do that until he goes through all that process. He's got to come through that. That is what makes it. It's because that the sun itself is what drawing it. Hallelujah. And when it gets fully above all the dirty waters and more and so forth, then he's so happy. He just gives his life out freely, and it's the beautiful life when he gets in the presence of that which draws it all. The sun draws us, just like the S-O-N of God draws us to himself. As we were saying in the Sunday school, man does not seek God. Man does not desire God. He can't please God. It's not in him to want God. It's not made like that since the fall. But initially, that's how he was made. To call those things that be not as though they were. He was made to call those things that just like God. Because God invested so much in him, but because he entered into sin, his nature became perverted. And from that moment, he turned to be something else outside of what he used to be. Then he had to now fend for him. He had to think about how I'm going to solve my problem. I don't care. I don't care about anybody. I will solve my problem. I will do this. Not ready to take advice. Not ready to consult according to the scripture. He's not even ready to follow the instructions of God's word, but to lean on his own understanding, which we are commanded not to do. Because there is no victory in leaning to your understanding. Your understanding, at best, the Bible says there is a way that seems right to a man, the end thereof is the way of death. So that is why man is a failure to begin with. If God does not come to help me, if God does not come to help you, you can achieve nothing. Especially spiritual breakthrough. It's not possible for any man to have breakthrough spiritually. and say, God helps you. I think that's the beautiful type of a Christian life. When something is drawing you out of the world, until one day you are born right in his presence by the Holy Spirit. How beautiful. If you try to help it, you'll kill it. Praise be to God. Now the prophet then was liking the new birth in terms of birth pain to how birds that are born from eggs, the pain they also go through. The distress they go through. The discomfort they go through. A ticking in the head. You see, Yoruba will say that, I think there's a song that the Yoruba people used to sing. Emi afẹ nu sọ temi o foluwa. Emi afẹ nu sọ temi o foluwa. Orofo fẹ nu sọ ti e odo nile. It's a bird with long beak. Akoko fẹ nu sọ ti e odo lomo. Adie ni. Akoko fẹ nu sọ ti e odo nile. Adie fẹ nu sọ ti e odo lomo. It's a wrong application. The fowl, the mother hen, is not the one that pegs the egg. Message of the hour tells us that. Message of the hour tells us that. And if you go and look at it truly, the prophet says the atmosphere that the egg needs. That you can take a puppy and tie a puppy down, a mother dog, and gather eggs under her, and keep her constant there. As long as the temperature that that egg needs to hatch, the egg will hatch. Niboni ikowa, niboni ikwa diewa, to fisha egg. It's not. It is the atmosphere. What about the incubator? The incubator just creates atmosphere. Of warmth that the egg needs to grow, the fruit in something needs to grow until it becomes mature, and it's the little bird in the egg that will be using his head to peck the egg from inside. And that is why if you are a raiser of birds, I mean local birds, and you gather them and the mother hen sits on the egg, once in a while when you go there, you see that some cracks on the egg. All that the mother does is that he just uses the beak to turn the egg so that the cold part can turn to where it can be warm. So that part will also receive the adequate warmth for it to develop the way it should develop. So you will see the crack, you see the crack, you see the crack. Gradually, the problem there is the little bird, that in the beak of that little bird, there is something that God has put in there. So that is what he uses. The prophet said he uses it to beat it up from there, he gains strength on his neck. As he does that, the neck becomes stronger. As he does that, the neck becomes stronger. And the shell begins to crack gradually. Begin to crack gradually. The prophet said if it were to be the if it were to be the mother, he could peck it on the eye. He could peck it on the eye. And when you see a newly hatched chick, it's so fragile. This is how he's doing. A little heavy touch can kill it. And the prophet says also that this little chicken that is to be born from this egg or any other bird, that it pecks the egg, breeze comes in gradually. The prophet said if you crack it once, he said it cannot withstand the volume of the breeze that will come at once. It will kill it. So it will peck the shell from inside, little breeze will come in. So that little breeze, his body will get adjusted to it. He pecks again, the little breeze comes in, and the bird gets adjusted to that bigger breeze. He keeps pecking it, gradually as he's pecking it, he's getting prepared to come alive. And while he's doing that, he's laboring inside the shell. Praise be to God. The way of a spiritual breakthrough. Like a little chicken, when it's born, when it's been born, that's paragraph 68. You know, if you ever notice one of the little fellows right on top of his little beak or any bird that is born from an egg, is maturing, this old eggshell, the old inner parts of the eggshell has to rot away. He has a little something on the beak. You get it? So, it's maturing. This old eggshell, the old inner parts of the egg has to rot away. And it has to take this little beak and scrape back and forth until they break the shell out. We call it piping his way out. Down in Kentucky, where I come from. Piping his way out. They have never found a better way. See? It's God's provided way. You try to help him, you will kill him. Pick the shell off of him, he will die. If you see the crack and say, oh, thank God, this egg is cracked, and you try to use your hand to open it, you are going to have a dead chicken in a short while. Well, they can't survive it, because that's not God's provided way for it. The only way it can survive is come through God's provided way. Through pain, through distress, through discomfort. And that is how he attains spiritual breakthrough. And that's how new birth comes. It doesn't say pleasure. It takes these processes. See, he's got to labor, strain, and break forth. That is the way a Christian has to do. It has somebody just shaking your hand, taking you home. You got to lay there till you die, rot, and are born into the kingdom of God. It is God provided way. You don't go in by book or shake hands or join, pop up, pull down. You just simply have to get away from the old shell of sin, of carnality, of disobedience, of loving the world, of that old nature. To get out of that, it takes doing, it takes praying. It takes discipline yourself. It takes consecration. Sometimes it takes fasting. Sometimes it takes you deny yourself a number of things that the player will do to you. They found no better way. Sorry? It's God provided a way. You don't do it by Bible. You simply have to get away from those shells. Notice, no better way. Have they ever found? They found no better way for a baby to get what he wants besides God's way for it. No, when that little baby is born, you could set a bell down here beside his little crib. Say, my little son, I'm a theologian in the way. I've read books on how to raise a baby. And I tell you, you are a modern child. You are born in a modern home by a modern parent when you are hungry or need mother or wife, just ring the little bell. Is that the way God made for a baby to get what she wants? Or what he wants? Which way? We have to cry. Most times we blame those little ones when they are crying. It is the way God has provided for them to get what they need. They can't talk. They can't walk. So where they, you know, when the baby begins to walk and maybe it's not even talking, if he can walk, he can walk to walk, he can move to where. What he needs, he can move there. I'll come and tell you. He might not be able to talk, he can come there. If it's water, he can go to where there's water. If it is toilet, he can hold your hand and say, oh yeah, toilet. If it is food, he will take you to the kitchen to show you, because he can't talk. But he's communicating to you in a way. But a baby that cannot talk, that cannot walk, a baby, he will cry, and God designed their cry in a way that is penetrating. The way a baby cries is not the way this little amazing grace will cry. Are you following me? That's why your Yoruba song we say Abia monkey go kun emo e. Ko ma se kini. O ma tati were. She will be at, she will not be at rest. Because and everybody around the place where that baby is crying, and the baby is not giving attention, they will not be at rest. That is why in Yoruba, they will beat the woman for not attending to the baby. Am I correct? The older women, they know it. The older women will beat the woman who is not attending to the baby on time and say, "Oh, baby, no, 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 no
but they don't have what the baby wants. So the woman that has what the baby wants is not giving attention. So they will face her. The way provided for the baby to get what he wants is by crying. I tell you, you are a modern child. You've been born in a modern home by a modern parents. When you are hungry or need mother or I, just ring the little bell. It will never work. The baby will cry and cry. I wet the bed. But we do wet it. Oh, my developed temperature. Because it's not getting what he wants. We cry and be vibrating. You will see the lips vibrating. The body will be vibrating. When it needs. Anybody who is this baby in that condition will not be at rest. Mamas, is that true? Mamas, Neil. And the nannies as well. It won't work. The only way that he can get what he wants is to cry for him. That is God's way. That is God's way. The prophet speaks about the deal as well. He speaks of the deal. You say, but we talk about rain. Rain is different from the deal. Though they all form under precipitation. A little dew drop. I don't know the formula of it. Maybe there will be a scientist here. I'm just going to say what I think. I'm also not, there's no need of us talking about it because it doesn't benefit us. If the prophet thought it would benefit us, he would have been left to look for it, and then we would have added it to that. But those who know it, they know it. Water is what is water? So that's what water is all about. So if the dew has some other composition, I don't know. He's just going to say what I think. It might be some kind of a congested group of atmosphere come together in a dark night. And he falls to the heart. And when he does, he born in the night. It's not in the day. Because that dew cannot survive during the heat. It's useful in the early morning. And that's what renews the day for us. That's when the new morning is fresh. That's the job of the dew. It might be some kind of a congested group of atmospheres come together in the dark night. It falls to the heart. And when it does, it's born in the night. But in the morning, it lays there cold and shivering on a little blade of grass. Or hanging on your clothing line when you walk along it. But just let the sun shine once at once. Did you notice how happy it gets? It just glisters and quivers. Why? He knows that sunlight is going to draw him back to where it was at the beginning. Dew also comes from heaven. But it doesn't come in the form of rain because it's a vapor that is hanging very close to the earth that God in his own miraculous will release to renew the hope yesterday and give us a fresh today. Praise be to God. It also passes through his home. And so is every man or woman that is born of the Spirit of God. There's something about it when light spreads over us that we are happy. Because we know we are going back to where we come from the bosom of God. Hallelujah. Let us pause at this point and talk about this light that we are talking. Jesus Christ says, I am the light of the world. He that believes me will not walk in darkness. And the prophet told us that the word of your, the word of God to every age, when that word of God is vindicated, the prophet said that word becomes light. It is the light of God for the people of God to walk through the dark world. That word of God, when it's vindicated and it is proven to be the truth, God backing it up and is showing to you that this word is the truth, then it becomes the light for that age. Everybody that wants to go back to God, everybody that wants to live a life that pleases God, everybody that will not want to stand to face God in the day of judgment and be condemned, we have to follow that light, which is the word of God for that time. So that light that is shining is the one that's showing our path. It's showing us where there is danger. It's showing us the tricks of the devil. It's showing us the way of safety. It's showing us the way to walk with God. And that word of God is the one. It's showing us the way to be spiritual. The way to have breakthrough. The way to walk with God and be connected. That word of God for that time becomes the light. So if a man rejects the word of God for the age, the person is rejecting the light and is going to walk in darkness. He's going to walk in darkness. The light, as we talk about, is so important to bodily life. Life is so important to bodily life. There is no bodily life that exists that survives without light. Even though we know that the trees draw their nutrients from the soil, draws the water from the soil and the rest of it, but it is the light, the sunlight, that helps it to process photosynthesis. And it is that photosynthesis that helps it, just like we develop when we eat. It's not food. That photosynthesis is not the food. Because it draws nutrients from the soil. We fertilize the root. It draws nutrients from it. Is that not? But just like you, when you eat, you must have some enzymes, catalyst in you to digest the food. That is what the photosynthesis helps them to do. The food that the root has drawn, that's what photosynthesis helps to convert it into what the body of the plant can absorb, and thereby is able to produce fruits. The agriculturists that are here can confirm that. The botanist. Are you there or not? You are not answering. You are there. You are not answering. All right. God bless you. The light is what we are emphasizing. The message of Malachi 4, brought by William L. Branham, is the light. And that light has power to give quick, it has quickening power to every seed that is in the soil. It's the one that helps every seed that is in the soil to germinate. Just like the word of God that is the Son of God, S-O-N of God, is the word. Are you following me? This is what we are saying. S-U-N gives life to plants. The seed. It helps them to germinate. And when they germinate, the plants, the leaves of the plant, draw life from it to process their food. The sun is important for the germination of the seeds. It's also important for the survival of the plant. Because through the sun, life comes from the sun to quicken the seeds that is in the soil that the farmer has planted. And the seed germinates into little blades that grow up from the soil. And then it grows up, it grows up, it grows up to have leaves and leaves. And this sun also, the plant draws light from the sun to produce photosynthesis that helps it to break down the food to make it to grow. So also the S-O-N of God, which is the word of God for this day, Malachi 4, 5 to 6. It's the same thing. The effect of the sun on the seed and its growth is what the SOH, the word of God, which is the message of Malachi 4, without addition, without any other person's message. Malachi 4 is only behold, I send unto you Elijah the prophet. It is not say I said unto you Elijah the prophet plus. There's no promise like that. There's no promise like that. And Malachi 4, that's Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. Also, to the angel of the church of Laodicea, not angels. Are you following me? One messenger. One messenger. Not two. Not one and a half. One. Hope you are following me. If you are following me with your whole heart, you are not. Hold on. Up to this point, if you are concentrating, let me use that word. Because you could say you are following me. If you are concentrating, not in deciding attention here, not in the raise your hand. Yeah, I know some were not concentrating. Revelation chapter 3. And unto the angel, not angels, of the church of Laodicea, and this is Laodicea, to the angel, one person, and that is Malachi 4, and that's Revelation 10, 7, Revelation chapter 10, verse 7, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, which is the angel of Laodicea. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. One messenger. Now, I am talking about life. I'm talking about life. Here. That the word of God to every age, once is vindicated, is the light of God to that age. And what that light carries, the potential of that life is that it quickens the seed of God on the earth as in Laodicea churches. That S-O-N-N of God has the potential to quicken the seed God's sons and daughters predestinated that are in that age. He has the life to quicken them to life, and he also has the life to sustain them in their growth. And it is the only message, not Malachi 4 message plus. Now, listen very closely. After this messenger, we have other scriptures. After this messenger, there comes the fivefold. We have the apostle. We have the prophet. We have the evangelist. We have the pastor. Then we have the teacher. All of these, they are expected to take from here. They are expected, if they are truly called to walk in God's economy for this end time, for the bride, these apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, they are to take what the Revelation of 10, verse 7, Revelation chapter 3, verse 4, 14, Malachi 4, 5, and 6, that prophet that fulfills, just like in Malachi 4, yeah, you remember, 6b is William Abraham. He shall turn the heart of the children to their fathers. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, like John the Baptist, and the heart of the children to their fathers. Just underline children to their fathers. Are you following that? If not they, the message that he brings, we change, we turn. And that meant that he brought was vindicated by God, just like we read about Daniel Henry's prophecy. And we talk about all of that vindication to tell you and the pillar of fire. Just like God vindicated Moses' ministry, the second Exodus now, which that was the first Exodus, the second Exodus, and then we are the third Exodus. Today, the pillar of fire is also a vindication of the ministry of William Branham, so that you and I can believe it. So, it is not the message of William Branham plus. So, every prophet, this is a prophet, is in the fivefold. It's not a major prophet, it's a minor prophet. This prophet here, what he can do is to take what William Branham preaches and read it to the people. He has no power to interpret the scripture on his own. If he does it, he's the first prophet. He can perform signs and wonders. He can raise the dead. He can prophesy. He can come to pass. But the prophet said, that is Balaam. What made Balaam a false prophet was because he prophesied correct. His prophecy, part of his prophecies are still coming to pass today for concerning Israel. But his teaching was wrong. In his teaching, it was wrong. So that made him a false prophet. If his teaching is also correct, and his performing signs and wonders with magic of error, he is also a false prophet. If he operates the gift with magic of error, and you understand what magic of error are, and he says, thus said the Lord, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. Out of five, you see three happen. He's a false prophet. For those who know him, those who don't know that, they will follow him. Ah, it's a prophet. You are deceived. And I tell you, if a man operates with gift of error, he can't even preach correctly. He can't stay with the word. Because the word will correct it. If he's making mistakes, the word will correct it. But because he's not staying with the word, he will continue to make mistakes. So this apostle here, we say only what the prophet says. This prophet here, the prophet said, this man here has the ability to interpret dreams. He can see visions. He has just feared the Lord. But he does not have the ability to interpret the scripture. To say this is what this Bible means. When he does that, it is only the chicken that will listen to him. The heathens will not follow him. That's how the difference are known. The light. The importance of staying under the light. You will see darkness. You will see a portal. You will escape it. You will see when a snake is on the road, you will dodge it or carry something and kill it. When the scorpion is on the road with his wicked hands like this and his chains like this, you will see it. When there's a trap on the road, you are walking with the light, you will see it. When you are walking in the darkness, you don't know where you are going. Danger in front of you will not perceive. You will just fall headlong because you are not following the light. That is the implication of following the light. So I'm emphasizing here that these five folk, the reason there is a problem today that people accuse many believers who stay with the message, who say William Branham said, they say that they don't have their own message. It is because they have put private interpretation to what this man has said. They are not ready to accept all that he says. And that shows to you that they don't have the revelation of what the message is all about. They can carry it, they can quote it. It's because they don't know what it means. Just like Jesus came and the Pharisees refused him, did this stop God from progressing? On the day of Pentecost, the promise that he gave to the disciples that my carry for in the city of Jerusalem for the promise of my Father. On the day of Pentecost, did he come? 120 souls partook of that blessing. And from that moment, that blessing has continued. Until. So, if I get in me, could I say, Oluwa duro? Unbelief does not hinder God. Nothing hinders God's program. But the problem is that people don't have the revelation. So, this, I'm emphasizing this, there is nobody The apostle has no right to interpret this Bible on his own. This prophet has no right to interpret the Bible on his own. This evangelist has no right to interpret the Bible on his own. This pastor has no right to interpret the Bible on his own. This teacher has no right to interpret the Bible on his own. They are only to take from the one messenger. One man. And because it is a one man message. It is one man that God called unto the angel of Laodicea. Right. All the message, all the mind of God, what God wants you to know, the way God wants you to live, in order to get prepared, everything about it, he gave to that one man. And he did not give it over to another person. It is the Holy Spirit. Once he left, the Holy Spirit came upon the fivefold to continue that work, but not to hide or subside from it. And do you know, the only way God maintains and he sustains his church is by the power of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is absent, you will see addition, you will see subtraction. When the Holy Spirit is absent, you will see addition, you will see subtraction. This man will come up and feel that he's a big person. He wants to be known. Problem of popularity. It's what's killing many people. But where will that one get anyone? What are you going to do? The people that listen to you, we only lead them to hell. Because they can never be prepared. They can never be prepared. The light is so important. The message of the hour is the light. And that's why we say it shall be light about the heavenly time. The path to glory you will surely find. In the waterway, it is the light today. Something like that. You know that song? It's a chorus. It shall be light. About the heavenly time, the path to glory, you will surely find in the waterway. Oh, it's better today, buried in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Oh, young and bold, oh, it's better. Oh, the Holy Ghost we surely enter him. Oh, that evening light that's come, it is a far that God that Christ are one. The evening light is here. Any other message is darkness. Any other interpretation is darkness. We have to stay under that light. We have to stay under that word. When we are predestinated to that light of necessity, that light, sooner or later we have effect. There's a little farm. That place was prepared. A virgin land. This is very surprising. Virgin land. Then I remember what the prophet said, that God planted the seed on the earth by his spoken words. Virgin land for about 20 years. Caterpillar bulldozes, it was to be prepared for agriculture. Do you know about 3 weeks after that? Amaranthus, I bought Tete, Shoko, Gure, and Ewedu, give out of that place plenty. Then I was asking the woman, I said, who planted this there? They said, nobody. A virgin land that caterpillar bulldozed. How did you get there? But when the sun, they didn't have the opportunity of the sun. They've been there. Remember, we were told that that place has been there for more than 20 years because the trees that were pulled down from that place, you will know. When you see they were good for timber. The place was thickly, forested. Deep, branch to branch everywhere. No vegetable came out of that place. But when the place was bulldozed and the sun has access to the land, the entire. Come and see this vegetable coming. This vegetable coming up. This vegetable coming up. I said, God, where did this come from? And somebody said, "Is that seed has been there since?" I said, "You are correct. Any seed of God, no matter how long it takes, if the shadow has been covering them, if the darkness has been covering them, whatsoever has been clouded their lives, when it's the right time, the light of God will strike, they will come to life. Why? Because that is the purpose of the word. The word of God is sent to bring them to life, not only to bring them to back, to sustain them. Just like the S-U-N does. That's all it does. Praise be to God. It is important to struggle to remain under the light, which is the vindicated word. Struggle to be there. If anything is going to take you out of that place, struggle. It was read last Sunday in the sermon, I think it's Kinsman Redeemer. In fact, it is a nugget for me. That was a decision that I took when I finished university, my first degree. I could have left Ibadan for greener pasture. I could have traveled. Some of my people we finished together, some of them are not here. They have traveled looking for greener pasture here and there and there. But when I read that part of the scripture, of that sermon, that said, "We are evil force. We are God. We are." Can you please project it? Can't quote it correctly. Where you are fed spiritually day and night. He said, "Don't leave that place." Since that time, I took that decision that whatever happens, I will remain where heaven is falling. Where spiritual revival is taking place. Where I can be spiritually fed day and night. Where I will not stop. Since that time, I took that decision. I have never regretted it. And by the grace of God, you will continue to get better. Under the light, remain under the light. You will be warm from the cold. You'll be energized. The gospel has power to transform. Hallelujah. When he comes under the sun, he knows. Because it is this same light, this same work that will bring us up at the end of the day. That is why that dew. That's why that dew is doing that. He's like, he knows that it is the sunlight that is that sunlight that is going to draw it back to where it was at the beginning. Where we came from, it is the truth. That's preparing us, that's taking us back. And so it's every man or woman that is born of the Spirit of God. There's something about it. When light spreads over us, that we are happy because we know we are going back to where we come from. From the bosom of God. Praise be to God. Can sparkle with joy. That's just talking about the dewdrop. When the sun eats it. Of course, knowing it is going to where it's come from. I hope you understand what I'm trying, the thought I'm trying to project to you here. That there is no other person that we should give attention to outside of William Miron Braham. There is no other farmer that we should give attention to outside of his preaching. No, there's no other woman that is qualified for me to listen to. If it's except it's a true fivefold that take this message and preaches it. But when he tried to bring something out of his own, to prove himself to be something else, I'm not part of his congregation. I'm not part of the people that will listen to him. In fact, when I know he's preaching, I will shut my phone. If they post it on the internet, on the platform, and I know if I'm on that platform, and I know this person is this, I will quench my phone to show my displeasure. Because I know it's not qualified for what he's doing. You see, the problem is that people don't know the truth. They've been misled for too long. They've been misled. Would you want to know the truth at the end of the day? Somebody that is walking under the light, in the darkness, and suddenly the light goes off. What is going to happen to you? Fear will grip you. Because you cannot see left, you can't see right, you can't see front, you can't see back. You don't know where you're going to place your leg. You are in a state of dilemma. You don't know what you are going to do. But when the light is shining, left, right, front and back, you are confident that you are moving. You are confident that you are moving. Where you are putting your leg, you know where you are going. You even advance. You move very fast. But somebody that is in darkness, you try to see. In your house, you know how you move in your house. Of course, because you are familiar with your house. Even then, when there is no light, you are careful how you walk. Especially where there are staircases. You have to use your legs and use your leg to feet or your hand to do like this so that you don't use your head to hit something. Darkness is horrible. And people who don't stay on that Malachi 4 message, they are in darkness. You have to understand it like that. You have to understand it like that. When you understand it like that, now when you say you are under the message and you are taking your personal idea, your personal opinion, you have some funny idea. You have your funny theology. You know, you have the way I say, I have the way I believe it. I don't believe that the way they believe it. You are a theologian. A theologian of your own. The prophet told us that an individual can denominate, yet can still be in the church. The prophet told us that a family can denominate and still be in the church. A church can denominate and still be in the church. They can still be associated with Malachi 4. Yet they are denomination. What is the denomination? It's adding to God's word and taking away from it. What the prophet does not say, they say it. What the prophet says, they remove it. To satisfy their own desire, because they have their own desire. They introduce things into the church that are not part of the world. It's only the word of God that is the standard. Outside of it, there is no other standard. God bless you. Little crude thing, but we could keep on with them. But let's find something else. We've spoken about this, but we are going to talk more about it. That is the same thing in the new birth. We never go back, but we go forward when you are born again. So there is no stagnation, and there is no backward moving. We don't regress, but we progress. Listen, that is the same thing in new birth. We never go back. We don't backslide. To go back.
You know the word backsliding is has a way the prophet uses. Not backsliding as you know people talk about backsliding as going back to the world. The prophet said the backsliding of the Christian that he does not pray as he ought to pray. He does not read the Bible as he ought to read the Bible. That's the backsliding of a Christian. When maybe he spent 2 hours yesterday, he spent half an hour this day. He's backslidden from 1 hour back to 30 minutes. Maybe he read two chapters yesterday. He's able to read a chapter today. He has backslidden from two chapters to one chapter. So he must. That's why the rapport says, I die daily. That's the application the prophet uses. So he tries to check himself to see that there's an improvement in his life on a daily basis. And when we want to talk about spiritual breakthrough, it requires distress, it requires pain, and it requires discomfort. Let's continue. That's the same thing in the new birth. We never go back, we go forward when we are born again. Now, many people, we find in a request of somebody. Who is asking God for Holy Ghost baptism? They will say, pray for more of God for me. You are not praying right. I want to break it down. Pray for more of God for me. Now when you say more, When you say more of God, it means you already have. Is that not? Now, to say that you have God, it means you have the Holy Ghost. That's what it means. In other words, you are born again, you are asking for higher grants. That's what you are asking for. But somebody that is not born again, this is not the request. Pray for me for more of God. That is not the right prayer to pray. You pray, God, pray for me for Holy Ghost baptism, period. Because a child that is not born cannot grow to the point that will be crawling. The child in the womb must be born first.
Are you following that?
You need to be born first, and then you are feeding on breast milk
for 6 months if it is exclusive. If it is not exclusive with pap, when the baby is ready to take such. So maybe mix with pap, with all of that feed that, you know cerelac and the last. Introduce it to make the baby to grow.
Now when the baby is born and the baby is not growing, then the mother will be concerned. But in the normal run, when a baby is born, the baby is expected to grow as the baby is properly fed. So when the baby is born, from that moment, the baby is expected from that moment to be fellowshipping. A time comes, you see the baby open his hand and laugh at the mother. We laugh to the mother, rather. We laugh to the mother. Anyone who comes around, the baby will try to, it will be fellowshipping. Attracted to that person. Sometimes the baby will change attention to another thing that the baby sees. He'll be looking. If the person laughs to that child, the child can respond. Yet, it's not crawling yet. So the baby, the intelligence of the baby is growing to know, to understand human beings, fellowship. And at the point is that that's growth in the baby. It's different from when the baby is born and the eyes are closed, it's just on the spot. It's only when the mother feels that this baby needs to feed. He carries the baby. Or maybe the baby is carrying, that's when he carries the baby. But at a point in time, from 3 weeks, there about 1 month, the baby begins to move from where you put it. It begins to turn like this. It begins to turn like this. And before you know it, the baby will begin to put, turn like this and put the chest on the bed and be trying to carry the leg to move. And then the short time, the baby begins to crawl. The baby sits down. The baby is growing. Then you can change the diet of that baby because meat can no longer satisfy. That's when you now introduce some other solid food to give the baby some better strength. But until that time, the baby does not suck. If he's still in the womb of the mother, can he suck? Can he eat tamala? Can he eat beans? No. He has to be born first. So to pray that God pray for me for more of God means you are already born again, you want to grow. But if you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, the right prayer is that pray for me for Holy Ghost baptism. It shouldn't be a shameful thing. It should be a joyful thing because it's the promise of God you are claiming. If we don't identify, most times, maybe the reason many don't raise requests is because they have come to a point where they have concluded they are filled with the Holy Spirit. They have concluded that they are filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why they don't raise requests. And they want to say, okay, let me just see. But there's a request you can pray. If you feel that God has done something for you, you can say, God can let him confirm what they have done for you. Vindicate what he has done, consolidate what he has done in your life, and you are watching.
May the Lord be our help.
We are not expected to come to church to be bench warmers. No, we are expected to be worshippers in spirit and in truth.
We must be part of the worship.
And when we say part of the worship, it's not only to clap our hands and pray and and worship and dance and the rest of it. Anybody can do that. And people can do that. But from the bottom of your heart, you understand the purpose of God for your life. You know what God wants in your life. And you know whether the grace that is given to you is not been given to you. And you are in the church knowing fully well that the grace that I don't have, I have come to church to come and receive.
Because church is the spiritual clinic of God. That is why spiritual sicknesses are addressed and healed. Every time we are coming to church, we must know we are coming to God's spiritual clinic. Whatever problem you have, whatever challenge you have, you come to God, cast your care and burden upon Him, before He cares for you. He cares. That is how we come to church. We come to church with expectation to get what we want. And that is why I think today we have so, not so many, rather quick, genuine new birth, is because the seed is maybe we sympathize with the word or the person. But they don't want to rot away from the whole system that they are in. They don't want to come out of it. If somebody is in sin and is enjoying sin, if he's worshipping the demon of immorality, he's worshipping the demon of fornication, demon of adultery, demon of social spirit, demon of whatever comes under the umbrella of the love of the world and the things of the world. If the person is worshipping it, he cannot be delivered. He can't be delivered. The person must know what that demon is doing to him or her. You must know that the essence of this demon in your life is to kill you and throw you to the lake of fire. The essence of every sickness is to kill the victim. The essence of that's why sickness, Satan brings sickness to us. To keep us in the state of morbidity. Sickness today, sickness tomorrow. That's his work. But Jesus Christ, the Bible says, for this God, the Son of God was manifested. To do what? To destroy the works of the devil. And by faith, we claim that victory. So when a man knows his state, the person that is sick is the one that seeks the physician. Spiritually speaking, it is the same thing. The person that is sick, that is under Satan's spell, that is under Satan's affliction, Satan's torture, is the one that knows what the devil is doing, and you have to understand that the essence of this spirit upon you is to destroy your life. I was telling some people that say, a thief who plants in his house And goes out with the man that is going to steal, is going to be successful. Do you know that sometimes they pray to it? That is where it is very, very funny. Babala, what you pray? And pray, Oluwa, Bukumiloni. And yet, he's doing the wrong thing. So when the thief leaves the house, and he goes on the street. I will use the example of a guy who snatched an Okada man. Who shot Okada from an Okada man. And they finally kill him in front of Unity Junction. How many of us are we aware of that? Yeah. Do you know that morning he left his house? I just want to give you an example of what the evil spirit targets in the life of a person. Is to destroy that person. Is to kill that person. And he knows that this person is this way. So send him to hell. Being not predestinated. He left his home in the morning, must have taken his bed. Maybe he has a wife at home, children, friends and relations, mother and father. Probably. Maybe he didn't have any. He must have friends and the rest of it. People might not know that's what he does. He will just go out of the morning in a good clothes with knife in his pocket. And maybe somewhere, that Okada man stop him and he carry this Okada man. And at a place where he feels that he could do something to this guy, he stabbed the guy at the back and snatched the Okada from him. And the shout of that one arose the people. And they saw the Okada man running the follow up attack. Funny enough, what I heard, that when he got to the front of Unity Junction, he packed the machine again and said, what do you want to do for me? He wanted to be fighting the people. That's how they packed. Those people that were coming. That's why they rush. Stones and the rest of it, they put him down. If he's not yet dead, when they pour petrol on him and put fire. When they sent it to the platform of my community, I quickly deleted it. I don't have the mind to look at it.
Now, he left his house with the mind that he would return home.
But that spirit has determined to kill him that day. Every attempt that he made with intention of the devil is to kill that person with that spirit in him. A fornicator, an adulterer, a thief, a liar, everything that is the target of the devil. And that's why he brings business to us too, is to kill us.
Everyone, you know, the Bible says that the thief cometh not but for do what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy.
That is his target. In any place where you operate, and in whatever realm you operate, that is his target.
To steal that person, his soul, kill that person spiritually, and then destroy that person.
So you have to know when you come to God's house that the house of God is a spiritual clinic. Where God has promised healing, where he has promised deliverance, where he has promised salvation, where he has promised breakthrough, where he has promised to grant you the desires of your heart. The church of God is the clinic,
spiritual clinic.
Where God attends to the patients of all categories. And so you must know that. For you to progress spiritually, you must understand that. For you to upgrade, you must understand. As you are coming to, every patient going to the hospital, they are going with expectation they are going to come back. Isn't it? That they are going to meet the doctor will give them. They are going to have confidence in the doctor and what he's going to prescribe. When you have doubt on what the doctor prescribed,
you won't use the drug. Is that not?
So coming, leaving your house, coming to the house of God is to say that, God, I have needs.
Knowing fully well that he has prepared his house as a clinic to meet your needs.
All categories of needs. Physical, spiritual, financial, material. He's waiting, he has been waiting for every one of us. And now that we have come, so it is time for us to address him.
You must recognize
that as you come, you must identify that devil and call upon God to set you free from that devil. Except you want that devil to destroy you.
Let's bow down our heads. The bad space. I've been listening to God's word close to two hours now. If all that we have been saying is meaningful to you, you must have been able to catch one thing or the other that applies to your life. Our God does not play. He doesn't play with his words. He calls every sick, both physical and spiritual, he calls them so that he can heal them, so that he can deliver them. He calls every sinner who is struggling with sin, who has not been able to overcome sin. If you are here, you have not been able to overcome sin. You have been struggling day and night. You wish that you are delivered, but somehow you know that you don't have this breakthrough. And you know that it's only God that can help you. You are in the right place. The clinic. Spiritual clinic. Whatever you need, talk to him. He's not an Indian giver. He has promised in his word that whosoever comes to him, he will in no wise cast out. He will not reject.
to have spiritual breakthrough, you need God. That God will touch you. That God will meet your needs. That God will break the yokes of the devil. That God will set you free. The Bible says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." And when the Son of Man sets you free, you are going to be free indeed. What is the challenge that you are passing through, brother, sister? Don't cover it up. Expose it to God. It will give you breakthrough. It will deliver you. That's who He is. He's the deliverer. He's the only one. The only deliverer. If it is healing, He has promises. He's the only one that healed all our diseases. And by His stripes we are healed. And you want spiritual breakthrough? He can give you the grace. You want spiritual breakthrough? You want to progress spiritually? You are stagnant? The prophet said there is no stagnation. It's regression there is. You are either regressing or you are progressing. The grace of God is here. His mercy is here. His favor is here. His power is here. His presence that breaks the yokes of the devil is here. And is listening to you as you are calling upon Him. He came down to the heart to make a way for you to be free. To set you free. To give you freedom. That you might serve Him all the days of your life. In holiness, in righteousness, without fear. Are you walking in the light? Do you have your own idea? Do you have your own opinion? After hearing the sermon, you go home and say, "Well, anyone saw him? They have said their own." Are you saying that it's only the message of the hour? Malachi for message brought by that will go. Is he the only one that will make anybody to go to heaven? Let them be deceiving themselves. Oh, brother. Oh, sister. Oh, mama. Oh, papa. Don't allow the devil to deceive you. The devil is lost. He has no redemption for him. And he's looking for who will go to that lake of fire with him. He's lost already. Don't allow him to pull you. Don't allow him to pull you. Don't allow the devil to destroy you with unbelief in the message of the hour. If you are having a challenge with the message of the hour, you feel that well, it's not all totally the truth. Somebody can also listen to a denomination and listen to some of these preachers. If somebody needs help, he can go to them. After all, God is answering their prayer. If you are here, you are in that condition. You need God to deliver you. Because you have unbelief in your heart. Will you then say that you are weak, but it is strong? That Jesus should keep you from all wrongs and draw you closer to Him? Young sisters, is God speaking to your heart? you that you are socially inclined, you that it doesn't matter, it's your second language, it doesn't matter, Joe. Say somebody cannot do this, somebody cannot do that. What about this? What about that? You are looking at outside example. You are looking at influences from outside. Remember, there are two sources where influences can come from. Influences come from the pit of hell and then from the throne of grace. And if your influence comes from the throne of grace, it will be righteousness. You will align with God's word. But if it's coming from the pit of hell, it will be contrary to God's word.
Just a closer walk with me. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Oh, daily walking close to thee. Let it be my dear Lord, let it be. Just a closer, just a closer walk with thee. Oh, granted, Jesus is my plea. Oh, daily walking close to thee. Oh, let it be, dear Lord.
Do you want to attain higher ground? You want to rise higher than the plane that you know, the plane where you are. You want God to add His grace to your life. You want Him to give you a happy hand. You have been making an attempt to rise, but you have not been able to do that. But He's here to help you, to give you breakthrough. But you must know that you have to pay the price. You have to call upon Him. You have to pay the price. You have to seek the face of God. You have to separate from the things of the world.
Oh, just a closer walk with Him.
The associate. Hand over to them. Not as a routine. Not as at other times. But you want breakthrough in your life, your spiritual life. You know you are not satisfied the way you are. Something is responsible. Maybe there's the darkness somewhere that is covering the light of God from spreading over you. And you want God that to remove that darkness and cause the light of His gospel to strike your life so that you can come to life. And the prophet said, when we are born again, we keep progressing. There is no stagnation. And you desire healing of your body, strength to be restored to your body, that God will minister to your body. Whatever needs you have, will you express it to God? in your own way while I hand over to the associates.
Gracious eternal Father, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, unto whom shall we go? Know that you are the only one that has the words of eternal life. We thank you for your word that we have just had. Bad things. Lord, your servant lay emphasis on the word that can bring deliverance, that can bring salvation, that it has to come from the right source. Because there is just one man that is representing you in this age, whom you committed your oracles to. Therefore, anything outside of that will not work in this our generation. Thus, just as nothing worked outside of the ways of Moses in his own day. Nothing worked outside of what Noah said in his own time, because they were your mouthpieces. Today, you have given us your mouthpiece in the person of William Marrow Brown. Because you sent the pillar of fire in 1933. Before thousands of people to witness to it, that as John the Baptist was sent to front the first coming of Christ, that he is sent to front your second coming, the message you are giving to him. That message has gone forth, and you have on the ground faithful men that you have caught in the fight for, who has been trained to say only what that messenger has said. Your prophet said, if you add to it or remove from it, that the message will no more be pure, and the rather will die. We thank you, Lord, for the portion that we have had this morning to afternoon. That is from that source where the light of God is shining. Just as you bury the seed under the earth, and you brought the sun to shine on it to come forth. That is also how you placed your seed in the heart of your sons and daughters before the world began. And the light that is to shine on it is your word. And that word has gone forth. Lord, it was also said about the atmosphere. That's why, O God, your prophet said, We must always stay where heaven is calling, where the kingdom of God is, where the glory of God is pouring out. He said we must stay where we are spiritually fed day and night. Because that is where salvation comes, deliverance, Holy Ghost baptism, and every blessing that you have died and paid for. Master Jesus. That's why that Syrophoenician woman refused to leave you despite all odds. Discouragement from the disciples. Even coming to you, she has words of discouragement. That she was, you are not sent to arrest, that arrest are dogs. But because she knew that if she leaves you, a problem will remain. She got a revelation. As hid with you, righteous and our Father, that led to the deliverance of our daughter, that led to our receiving a petition. Dear Father, your children have had your word today. I am persuaded, Lord God of heaven, that the reason why they have stayed thus far to listen to this is because they are convinced that you are the one that have the word of eternal life. and they are listening to the right thing that can bring deliverance, that can bring healing, that can bring solution, that can bring salvation, that can set them free from the bondage of the devil. That's why they have faith. They are righteous, Father. I present them before you. Saul at the altar. They are not ashamed of your word. And you said that whosoever is not ashamed of me and of my word in this sinful and adulterous generation, that I will not be ashamed of them also before my Father and the Holy Angels. You know their problems. You know their needs. You know their desires. I present them to you like Anna in the temple. May you hear their cry, their Father. May you bring solution to their problem. May you solve their problem. May you meet their needs, Lord. If they are looking for deliverance, it comes only from you and from this source and in this atmosphere. May you give them that full deliverance, Father. Give them a testimony of us from that time, Lord. Every hand that went up for one need or the other, thou art God. They defy the law of gravity. They lift up their hand and they believe you. And they believe this word. And they will stay with it. And they have signified their need as they raise up their hands. Gracious eternal Father, be merciful to your people. Lord Jesus, meet them at the point of their need. As many as are seeking for the Holy Ghost baptism, which is the confirmation of everyone's election, may you grant it unto them, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. If there are sins anywhere, may such sins come under your blood, Lord. May you forgive your people. May you show forth your mercy, Lord. May your blood atone for everyone, Father. Grant it, King of glory, Lord. Let there be testimonies that will rise up after this service of something tangible and definite that you accomplish in the life of your people. Satan, remove your obedience from God's children in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, dear Father. Blessed be your wonderful name. These blessings that we have received may be permanent in our lives. We ask to bless your servant and lead all the honor of his ministry, renew his strength, and prepare him for the next service. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your wonderful name for hearing and for granting this petition. We ask them with faith and thanksgiving in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. I believe you enjoyed the service. I did myself. God bless you. The next service is 2 o'clock sitting, preaching is 3 to 4. Then the day will be ended. Shall we rise as to sing this hymn? 127. Are you worthy?
By the Savior's side. Holy Spirit.